Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, happy Monday, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be talking about a subject that all of you listening, I know, really are fascinated with, and that's near-death experiences. But what I wanted to do was to talk especially about children today. Now, my guest, PMH Atwater, this is a woman that has written the book, The Big Book of Near-Death Experiences, which is like an encyclopedia. It's filled with all kinds of factual information documented to the hilt. And she's got information about Beyond the Indigo Children, the New Children and the Coming of the Fifth World, and then the New Children and Near-Death Experiences. So we're going to be talking about some variables regarding this because children sometimes have experiences that are different from what adults have, but in many ways there is a common denominator. I want to welcome PMH Atwater to my show. Hi.
Well, hi, Donna. Good to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you on again. Let's talk. Now, you've got so many books out about the near-death experience that, you know, anybody that really wants to get into the meat of this in a real in-depth way, not just from a woo-woo side, because that's not how you approach it.
Nope.
But you have really grounded it because of your own personal experiences, and you have been involved with people on so many different levels with this, but you really come from a positioning of being a researcher. Now, for those in my audience that have not heard about your personal experience, could you give us sort of a thumbnail sketch of what it was that triggered this tremendous interest in research on near death?
Oh, my goodness. How can I do that in a thumbnail? All I can do is be very, 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 very brief. I died three times in 1977 in 3 months. Each time I died, I had a near-death experience. Each was different. When I came out of all of that, was finally revived, saved, back on Earth, back in a body. Later that fall, I had three relapses, one of which was adrenal failure. So after all of this was over, and I would say the first year after all of this was over, I had to rebuild an old body. That is to say, I had to relearn how to stand, how to walk, how to crawl, how to climb stairs, how to run, how to tell the difference between left and right, how to see properly, hear properly, and rebuild all of my belief systems. So yours truly was in exercises and classes day and night, and finally in 1978, I could say, I'm a human being again. You know, a lot of people, when they're talking about near-death experiences, they forget that most of these experiences come from violence or trauma. So you're dealing with the injury or condition of the physical body, along with the surprise or confusion or joy or terror of the near-death experience, depending on how it affected you. In my own case, though, in my third near-death experience, which was the longest and most impactful of the three, I was told by what I call the voice like none other to, well, I'll just give you a quote. It was very short, very brief. It said, test revelation. You are to do the research. One book for each death. Book one was not named. Books two and three were named. I was told what was to be in each book, but not how to do the work. And here I am, you know. Mm-hmm. I came back to do it. I'm a cop's kid. I was raised in a police station. My dad started teaching me police investigative techniques at the ripe old age of 9. And so
that's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah. So
I see.
Yeah, yeah, police investigating techniques are my protocol.
Right. Right. And that's very good. I can tell you, I have been inundated with material for 2012 and all this kind of stuff. And I realize that the world is always changing and that there is so much that is speeding up. And it sounds ridiculous. We still just have 24 hours a day. But I am so aware of the shift. And having been involved with children's material and interacted with little ones since the middle 90s, it has angered me many times how we dumb down to the kids. Now, I'm taking this path for a reason. Because you talk about the indigo children, and you have a book, Beyond the Indigo Children, that you go into quite a bit of detail about how we are experiencing a shift in a tremendous capacity for youngsters to be able to move forward very quickly. In fact, it's posing a huge problem for a school system that is still going by what I call a 1940 and 1950 method. These are kids, and I experienced so many of them when I would be out doing storytelling, et cetera. Three-year-olds, people would say, oh, your words are too big for them, and they understood them perfectly.
You bet.
I look at this, and your book is a very good source of information. You talk about how scientists are rewinding the clock a bit, but we've got a whole new level of children. And I think this is true. Children coming into this world that are extremely capable of adapting to the fast pace that some of the older generation, and hey, that can even be for some in the 30s, they're antiques according to the sometimes. And, you know,
now watch how you say that. I was born in the 30s. Be careful. I'm hardly an antique.
But,
well, you know, a point can be made here in my near-death research and the new kids. And that point is, when I was doing all the research I did with child experiencers of near-death states and how they change afterward, and, you know, a lot of these changes are not just that they become more psychic and they're nicer and more generous and volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
They're physiological changes as well as psychological changes with adults and children. So we're talking about brain-mind changes, brain structure changes. We're talking about changes in the nervous system, mm-hmm. the digestive system, and skin sensitivity. So we're talking about specific ways the near-death experience and other transformational experiences like that can alter and change and transform a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And when I noticed this happening with children, child experiencers as well, then I also began to notice that, my goodness, kids are being born that way today.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of kids are being born that way today. In fact, most kids are being born that way today. And that's why I wrote Beyond the Indigo Children. And notice the word beyond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take all these labels, indigo, crystal, starseed, cosmic, psychic, on and on and on, and toss all the labels, they're really useless. Just toss those labels. Take all the characteristics and traits those labels supposedly define.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch them all into one big bunch, and you have the profile of today's children. I truly feel that quantum leap, that fabled quantum leap that has been predicted for who knows how long, about the jump in the evolutionary pattern of the human race, that big quantum leap that we're supposed to be taking, is happening right now.
Oh, yes, it is.
Absolutely happening. This is where we're going as a human race. This is us. They might be little bitty kids right now, but this is us.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're going as human beings.
Well, I think the children today, at least those that I've been exposed to, and with the counseling and interaction that I do many times with parents, they find that the rule of thumb regarding what might have been appropriate 30 or 40 years ago in behavioral counseling is just so not there, because these kids have gotten to a point, and I'm not making excuses for them, I'm merely saying we need to be able to look at them and to be able to look at them as intelligent people and have expectations of them and not dumb down the environments that they're in, but put them in environments that are going to really support their enthusiasm, their brightness, and their willingness to learn. Because childhood is when you train a young person to be able to adapt in the world.
Yeah, and these kids are very, very different.
Yeah, and they're different, and they're thinking. And I can think of a parent I was just talking with a week ago who has a son that's just brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and she's going out of her mind.
Of course.
She just doesn't know what to do. And I said, he's so bright that everything that he's going through right now is boring to him. You need to put him around some men and some adults that are going to challenge him, that are going to set paradigms, but not to encase him so that he can't ever think for himself. But
these kids need to be mentored more than any other generation in history, and it's because they have so much intelligence, so much ability, so much power, so much awesomeness, that if they're not mentored, they're not going to use it right, or they're going to blow it, or they're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
They really, these new kids, they're more intelligent than any other child that we know of in history. Even if they're flunking and can't spell, these kids are brilliant. About one-third are geniuses. They're very music-oriented. Of course, just about everybody is, but, you know, these kids even more so. They're clever innovators, inventors. They're extremely creative, intuitive, psychic. They remember past lives, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them remember their birth. They're excellent with math, believe it or not. They're natural-born healers, entrepreneurs. I mean, these kids at the age of 5 are creating things in their bedroom and selling it. Some of them at the age of 14 have paid for their college, mm-hmm. you know, already. I mean, these kids are just... they are natural-born entrepreneurs, but they don't, you know, they don't really understand investments or how to wisely spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't have any real concept of money in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need to be taught. They're natural-born healers. They're irreverent. They're absolutely irreverent. They're spiritual, but irreverent. They're creative problem solvers. They're volunteer-minded. They have strong spatial abilities. They're groupies. They have no real concept of authority. They feel entitled. They abstract at young ages. You know, if I were going to say, if I were asked, what is the greatest talent, the number one talent of our new children today, I would say it's their ability to abstract.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask these kids to think outside the box, because they never knew there was a box there to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these kids abstract and deal on the conceptual levels almost from the time they're verbal. Let's face it, these kids are multisensory, they live in a multiverse, and they are multi-channelers. And it drives their employers nuts, it drives their parents nuts, it drives their educators nuts, because they don't know how to handle these kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're naturally impatient, even to the point of anger. They get angry very easily, but it's a different kind of anger. That's because they have no tolerance for anything that's inauthentic or overly exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
Any, you know, deceit, manipulations, they just blow up at it.
You have a case in here I wanted to share out of your book, The New Children, The Near-Death Experience. This is NTA out of Omaha, Nebraska. Now, what's important about your material, I feel, is that you actually spoke with the children, you actually had conversations with them about their experience, and they were so articulate in the way that they stated what had happened to him. Now, NTA out of Nebraska had a near-death experience at the age of 13 months from an electrical shock, and this is what this young person said. I believe every person is a spiritual being and that we all have a special purpose that is spiritually oriented. I believe we are all light beings of love and that Christ came to teach us that we could be like him. I believe in the concept of unity of all things. I think the history we've been taught for thousands of years is not the whole truth and that these truths are coming out. Many earth changes are taking place and many ascended beings are helping and guiding us through this time of transition. It is time for us to be okay in questioning our beliefs and to take responsibility in healing ourselves and the planet to hold more light. I believe bad things, people, and experiences are opportunity for growth. As we awaken and remember, we will begin to create heaven on earth. My near-death experience has made me realize and know without a doubt that love and happiness, acceptance, and joy are possible for every person. Now, I don't know how old the young person was when you spoke to them, but that
they were a teenager.
Okay, that what you would expect out of a professor that's close to 85.
Nah, these are.
That's
you know, when
I
you talk
to
today's children, like you said before, you use either adult language or close to it.
It's necessary because they are not. You go to the Jane follows Dick down the road, and they're going to look
forget
at you and
it.
Say, "Oh, good Lord, here we go."
Remember that little boy I talked about in that book, in my book. Let's see, he was it was a first grader.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in the state of Georgia. And he had his near-death experience, oh, it was getting close to the holidays, though not quite. So he went through about half a year of school, first grade, and then had his near-death experience when he was able to come back to school. Bear in mind that the kids were still reading Dick and Jane, Spot, you know, all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff. This boy comes back reading Greek mythology and goes up to his teacher and asked her why the book Robinson Crusoe was ever written.
Wow,
totally abstract. Totally abstract.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, they had to take this boy out of the first grade and put him in special classes. But that's so typical of these kids. There's a wonderful, wonderful book that was written by Marietta McCarthy. It's called Little Big Minds, Sharing Philosophy with Kids. She has taken philosophy, you know, this big topic of philosophy, she has taken it into grade school. She has proved that third graders can do just fine with philosophy. In fact, are benefit from philosophy, do well with that, and even first graders do well with philosophy,
mm-hmm.
and just come up with incredible insight. Little kids, she says, take philosophy out of college, take it out of the universities, and put it in grade school. That's where the kids need it, that's where they want it, and they're ready for it.
One of the points I think that's so important by what you've just said is bringing this into the environment of elementary school.
Yes.
What has evolved over the years is that, and this is my personal bias, is that we've dumbed down. Now, a good teacher is not going to dumb down or talk down to their students. I've known many teachers that have gotten full classes, 30-plus, students that couldn't even read when they were in the third grade. And within a year, not only did they have them reading, but this one teacher I know of, she took this whole class that was just totally decrepit in the eyes of everybody that nobody else wanted and said, okay, kids, I want you to know, one, you're going to be reading, two, we're going to write a book, and three, you're going to end up winning an award. And they won a national award for the book that they all worked and put together. And she did this in 9 months.
Yeah.
So this is something where when we have the expectation and with computers, with so much information that they're being bombarded with, it has been proven time and time again. The only reason children are not really communicating in the way that we think they should is that their muscles aren't working. Their muscles in their mouths, it doesn't mean the brain is just not activating. They're like sponges. They soak up everything. And you can take a little one that's less than a year old, and if you've shown them pictures, they will be able to identify a rhinoceros. They may only give it about three split, maybe a hair breadth of a second. You say, what's a rhinoceros? Line the pictures up. They'll waddle on over. Bing, bing. Type whatever, you know, touch whatever's there. And then they're off doing something else. They don't have any more time to waste with silly exercises. It's amazing what children will absorb. And when you have the children that have this capacity, and they are extremely bright. In our world today, we don't let children go out and just run around and go out and inspect the bugs in the backyard and this type of thing. We've gotten to be a society that so often insulates. And there is a myth that develops often in their minds that they can't equate with reality. So when you can have good mentoring, which is coming full circle to what we said just a moment ago, when you can have the philosophy, when you have people articulating to them and expecting them to be able to understand, you just know they're going to be able to do it. They think differently. There's going to be some that are more mechanically inclined, etc. It's quite exciting, because then as a teacher, you're going to be challenged, because you're going to say, how can I make school so interesting for this youngster that they're going to want to go on to further their education?
And teachers today also are being faced with very unique challenges with these kids. Like I said, they're groupies. Most of them are psychic. They're channelers. And, you know, what we've been finding in the school system is that these kids will intuitively, psychically talk to each other, mm-hmm. you know, silently, but still telepathically talking to each other. And it interferes in the classroom. It's causing problems with the teacher. And sometimes kids in that classroom will start contacting the children in classrooms down the hall. And they'll all start getting, you know, having these conversations. And it has caused so much difficulty in various classrooms that it's become an issue. Now, I love what they did in Perth, Australia. It became an issue there, too. And we're talking regular public schools. Mm-hmm. We're not talking special schools. And they were having so much of a problem with these kids abstracting, with their being so intuitive, they're contacting each other psychically, with their being groupies, that they decided they had to do something. They had to do it now. They had to do it fast.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they abolished the term classroom. They're now all called neighborhoods.
Oh, that's it.
They have movable walls inside each space so that the kids and the teacher can change the walls around, that they don't always have the same structure.
Mm-hmm.
They allow the children now to whisper in class. There's no such thing anymore as a silent classroom or neighborhood. They allow the children to whisper. And by having the children whisper back and forth whenever they want, they have found that that has cut down almost totally on this psychic hopping around and jokes and, you know, all the things that were going on that the teachers couldn't control and weren't sure about. Now, by having the kids whisper silently, you know, back and, you know, quietly back and forth, they don't have that problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And just by doing this alone, and the teachers are now called guides instead of teachers. By changing some terminology, by having movable walls, by allowing the kids to whisper, they turned around by 80% the intelligence, the accomplishment, the achievement level, the attendance, they turned it around 80% just by doing that.
There are so many various experiences that children have had that you itemize out in the New Children and Near-Death Experience, as well as Beyond the Indigo Children. And there was one young man, Cecil, out of Virginia. He had drowned at the age of 11. And there was a question he posed, how do you use the information you have? I see so many psychic fakes, I can tell where their experience ends and guesswork begins. I know the future, especially with little ongoing things. I know when people are about to die. I try sometimes to turn it off because you don't enjoy going out to dinner and seeing death on someone at the table. And I look at this, and I think these young people are coming in at this time when we are more open about this. I think of years ago when I was in my 20s, and there was a woman who was almost in her 80s that came to me, and she said, why have I been cursed? And I'm looking at her, and I'm saying to myself, she's asking me why she's been cursed. My goodness, this woman has lived so much longer than I have. But she had so many skills and abilities, and they were just absolutely considered black magic. It was awful. It was evil. And she, in her generation, just like this young boy, saw death when it was around. It came in a form of flowers with her. So it was a beautiful experience for her as a child. It wasn't something ugly until her mother, out of fear, said, this is terrible. Don't you ever open your mouth about anybody. Because she predicted, rightfully so, the death of a member of family.
Can you imagine that this is now happening in the Muslim countries?
Oh, yes. It has to.
Near-death experiences the work of the devil.
Well, what happens is when you're fearful. But when people have these experiences, they live through them and they don't forget them. And with the Internet today, there are so many walls of fear and hate that are having to crumble, not unlike the Berlin Wall. And the only way that happens is when there is enough information out there that people can access and people that can communicate and talk about things without the woo-woo and realize that this is a natural part of life, not something to be feared. Then you're going to see major strides because every single culture in this world is being affected by this.
Absolutely.
Every single
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
And it's important that the children know that this is something that's good. It's important they become educated about ethics and values. And no matter what a person's cultural background is, it's time to lay down the baton of hate and ignorance and superstition. And it's going to be a job that this younger generation is going to tackle enthusiastically, but there has to be a lot of confusion in their young minds at this time because they see so much with the adult demonstration of this just doesn't make sense to me, I don't understand. So the mentoring is, and again, we're coming full circle with that. PMH, we're just about out of time. Your books are very...
Really? Already?
Oh, yes,
You're
I know.
Kidding.
Yes, I know. It just goes by so fast. I want people to know that your books, you have the big book of near-death experiences, which I recommend that anyone keep in their library. If you know of someone that's gone through an experience, if you want to know how to talk about it, how to communicate about it so that you've got a language that's not going to scare the pants off of somebody, that's a great book. Then Beyond the Indigo Children and the New Children and Near-Death Experiences. And PMH has had some other books, but these three are the ones relative to the topic that we're talking about today, so I encourage you to consider it. Also, she's got a website, pmhatwater.com, pmhatwater.com. Do you have a closing comment, PMH?
Well, the addendum to Beyond the Indigo Children is on my website. It's a free download.
Oh, good.
It's called Beyond the Indigo Children Extras, and it has a lot more scientific findings, name, address, phone number, all kinds of recommendations. You know, I'm a meat and potatoes person. You know, I want to give you what is real and what is valid and what you can use.
And I can verify that. And PMH, I so appreciate your being with us. Don't forget, go to her website, pmhatwater.com. You'll have all kinds of good stuff there. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you, Donna. Many
it's
blessings.
Take care. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment, then we'll be back with some interesting goodies. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Join us at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Hoquette, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com. Or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. I want to let you know first that the telephone lines are now open, 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, and worldwide we have 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I do know we've got a caller waiting. Before we go to that caller, though, I want to mention a couple of things. I am going to be having a class on the 30th of January regarding glyconutrients, nutrition, and it's all about wellness. This is something I don't have a great deal of opportunity to deal with on a regular basis, but when the opportunity comes up, I really like to interact. We're going to have a speaker. So if you'd like some information about that, would like to know where it's going to be, it's a Friday evening, January the 30th. It's going to be held in Tacoma, Washington. So if you will, it's those of you in Western Washington who are listening, if you will give me a call at my office, I'll give you the details. That number is 800-872-8852. Also, I want to mention my newsletter. The reason it has not gone out to direct subscribers yet is that we're switching over to a new server. So we are working through some of the issues of getting that all taken care of and set up and ready to go. That should be going out within today or tomorrow, so you'll be having that. Also, there is going to be a special email promotional that I will be supporting with the guest that I had last week, Eldon Taylor, and this is on developing mind skills, so that's also going to be going out. If you want more information about that, you can give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852. And let's go to our caller who's been waiting very patiently. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm calling from Florida.
Hi, Cindy. Where are you in Florida?
I'm in Lake County, which is between Orlando and Ocala, right in central Florida.
Oh, my goodness. That is so gorgeous there. It is just beautiful there.
It is a beautiful area.
Cindy, let me give you the information that I'm perceiving right off the bat. You are a very good educator. You have a way of reading people that I think is quite exceptional, and I want you to pay attention to your intuitive senses, and I mean all of them, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, you know, all that goes in. Don't try to separate things out. You have been exploring your own development of your own intuitive skills. I compliment you on this, but don't put yourself in a box. Don't do that. When you are learning from someone, take the best of what they have. You will know what feels right, what is right, and what is not right. You will know when someone is not telling you the truth. Now, I want you to be aware that the capacity for being financially independent will lie in two areas. One will be very careful, thoughtful purchasing of real estate. The other will be, and by the way, you are going to be relocating eventually, not right now. I'm looking at 5 to 7, so it could be 5 to 7 years when you're going to be in a locale where you really want to do this. And then also you're going to be developing a business of your own where you're going to be providing products and services that you will constantly be working with. And this is going to mean a lot to you. So I'm not in the least concerned about you financially, but I want to encourage you to continue your education. Your intuitive processes are going to balance very nicely with whatever you do. And you don't need to tell anybody about it if you don't want to. All you have to do is just talk to people in a way that allows you to help them without them thinking you're something that's from outer space, which is not the case at all. You've been this way all of your life. You were born this way, and it's important that you support it with the right kind of what I call mental nutrition. Do not waste your time with the people that you think are not real. You pay attention to those that are real because they're going to give you a very good support of education, mentoring that you're going to be able to take and pass along to others. But you're very skilled at communication anyway. You have this empathy, which sometimes bothers you because you're not overly sympathetic to a lot of things, but you're very empathetic with things. This is outstanding because this is what really can make a very good counselor. When you empathize, it means that you are there with that person, but you're not absorbing their stuff. You're there to assist them. You're there to counsel. You're there to interact. You're there to support. You're there to educate, and then you release them to their experience. And that's one of the best marks of any counselor that there ever is, and or teacher, because a counselor and a teacher, to me, are synonymous. You have got a lot going on in your life. You've got some upheavals this year, but I want you to count your blessings that you've got them, because it's going to save you a lot of time, a lot of headache, a lot of heartache later on. You've got a hard-working 5 years ahead of you. Be grateful for it, because you're going to get a lot more in these next 5 years than most people get in a lifetime. Do you have a question for me?
Wow. That was great. I started taking notes, but I couldn't write fast enough. I was trying to take it all in and not miss what you were telling me. So I'll take a note. The question I want to ask you is about what do you see for me relationship-wise coming?
Well, now that's pretty broad.
Anything
dear.
Permanent,
are you talking about married?
For a long time, yes.
All right. Because the big M word needs to be used here.
Okay.
You need to ask yourself if this is really what you want at this time. My perception is it is not what you want at this time. You do want marriage. You do want that commitment, that agreement with a person. That's very important to you because you're very loyal. But you have had some pretty upsetting and shaky situations you've gone through during the last 9 years, 9 to 11 years, actually.
Exactly 11 years.
So,
wow,
okay.
You were dead on.
Now, what I want you to be,
yep.
I want you to be aware of something. These were learning curves for you. The biggest challenge you have in front of you right now regarding a relationship, let's use marriage. Let's just dump the word relationship. Let's use the big word, marriage. Mm-hmm. The committed marriage with a person who is going to be a real partner to you. That's what you want. You want that partner where you can walk side by side. He will be of his own self. You will be of yourself. And you'll be together, one, because you do love each other, but two, you really want to be together for the right reasons. You're going to marry him not because you want him to support you, not because you just want to have Mrs. in front of your name, not because you are looking for some kind of childlike security, but because you want a person that is going to be there as a form of support with clarity and with caring. Mm-hmm. And is going to want you to be happy because that's the most important thing to him. And I'm not talking about a Mary Poppins fantasy here. This is real. And so you need to let go of the little girl that is caught up with what I call is the Cinderella syndrome. You need to let that go because people are always going to have challenges. I don't care who you are. There's no such thing as a walking saint on this planet. Everybody has problems on one level or another. They can be very, very good people. I'm not saying there aren't good people on this planet. There are. But we all have our weaknesses. We all have our moments because we have to grow. We're here to learn. We're here to participate in life and not just be bystanders sitting with a lollipop and a pointed hat on our head. So you are such an intense individual. You need to have someone that is in joy when they are with you. And there is this harmonic between the two of you where you're together for the right reasons. Am I making sense to you?
Absolutely, 100%.
All right, so what I want you to do, and this is a very simple exercise to do, and perhaps you've already done it, make a list of the qualities, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, that you would like in a person. And if you've already done that, which doesn't surprise me if you have, then just put it in an envelope and leave it alone and just say, I don't know who it is that I'm going to meet. I really don't care when it happens. I am just going to allow my life to be the best that I can be, and I want you to work on you. I want you to invest in you. Now, I know down deep your radar is going to be out there going ding, 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 click, 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 click. But I'll tell you, it is going to be the least likely situation that you would have ever been able to dream up. And you are going to meet a man. He's about 5 to 7 years older than you. He's about average height. He's got a very round face. I just love his eyes. He's got like a blue-gray color to his eyes. Wonderful guy. But if you were to meet him today, you'd take one look at him, you'd turn on your heel, slam the door, you wouldn't even give him a chance to say, hello, how are you? The two of you just wouldn't click because you both haven't gotten to the point yet where you will. So he's got some growing to go through, you've got some growing to go through. I want you to just enjoy going out with different people. Don't try to make anything to anything at all. Just be true to yourself, hon. This man is going to come into your life, and he's going to be a partner for a long, long time.
Do you see a time frame?
Nope.
Approximate time frame when I'll run into him?
Nope, I'm not getting a time frame at all because what's going on with you and with this other person, it all depends on how you handle your situations as to when the time frame will be there.
Hmm. How I handle which situations?
Life. Just living. Oh. Invest in yourself. Don't worry about trying to find Mr. Wonderful right now. You take care of you.
Okay. Well, I haven't been looking. I've been on a very spiritual journey, but I feel like
life.
I should be looking to make it happen.
No. What you do is you just get active in life. Everything is spirit. Everything is spirit. You cannot separate it. It's all there. So get out and just participate. If you want to take classes, if you have a hobby, just get out and be a part of life.
Okay.
Live. L-I-V-E. Live.
Wow. Do you see this person having any...
And I'm going to have to go. Important? I've got to take a break.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Somewhere,
that's all right.
Is there somewhere that I can listen to this call, a replay of it?
Yes, there is. Why don't you leave some information with Don? We're going to go to break. Leave your number with him, and I'll give you a call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, there. Okay, this is Donna Sebo. We've got to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Interested in UFOs, the paranormal, predictions, prophecies, and psychics? Then join us along with David Icke, Sean David Morton, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Danyon Brinkley, Sonia Coquette, and many more at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo and Film Festival, February 13th to 16th at the LAX Hilton. Call the box office at 1-800-367-5777 or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com for more information and discounted tickets.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 877-876-5227. Worldwide, the phone number is 888-815-9756. Now, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, I'll be glad to give you my mental impressions, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. Quick like a bunny, I want to let you know about our lineup this week. We really have some interesting guests this week. You might say we're going to be talking about intuition on so many different levels. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Kimmy Rose, who is a talk show host and a psychic. Her book is Waking Up Your Intuition, so we'll be talking about that tomorrow. On Wednesday, we're going to have an open mic. There's all kinds of information I wanted to share with you, so I didn't book a guest that day. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about tea leaf reading. Yes, the Cup of Destiny. We'll be traveling to London, England to talk to Jane Lyle. And then Blythe McGarvey is going to be my guest on Friday, Shaking the Globe. Shaking the Globe. Lots of things going on. So we've got a real interesting week here. So I invite you to share with your friends. I know today is Martin Luther King Day, and for so many of you, it's a wonderful holiday. And I'm so glad that you're able to join us today here at the Donna Sebo Show. Now, quick like a bunny, you've been hearing some comments about the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles. For those of you who are in the Los Angeles area, I'm going to be there. I'll be speaking Friday evening, the 13th of February. Also, I will be in a booth doing many consultations while I'm involved in the action and activities that are going on at the expo. So my booth number will be 537. And by the way, my newsletter is up on my website, so you can go there and you can look and review at it. But again, for those of you who have subscribed, that will be going out directly to you either today or tomorrow. I wanted to also respond to an email that I received from a gentleman by the name of Ron. And he asked me about past life experiences. And he said that he was, what's the value of it? How can you recall them? Well, there's a number of publications that are out and about regarding this, but many times there is just simply that attitude of, I'd like to know about this. What is it do I find myself gravitating to? What is it that I can do in the way of an exercise that will allow me to understand or to go back in time? And then also the question was posed, of what value is it? Well, both of those questions, there are many answers that could be given to them. And I will just share with you, this is my perception. When I first became aware of my own intuitive abilities, my mentor Gloria, who had just a tremendous influence on my life, she made a comment about past lives experiences that I thought was very interesting, because we had a mutual friend who had really gotten very, very deeply into the study of past life experiences. And this lady was so engrossed with it that it actually was deterring her from living the life that she was supposed to live with a sense of clarity. She learned a lot of things regarding past life. She went and took classes on past life regression. But my mentor Gloria said, Donna, the only time past lives are recalled is if really they are going to be able to serve you in some way. The past is the past, and if you can't learn from it, then the value is going to be nil. But Ron's question is a very interesting one, and I believe that he's probably had some experiences, and they can come in a multitude of ways. You can be in a locale where you resonate with it and you don't know why. You can have a dream that actually will catapult you into that area of awareness of past life experience. Now, I know there may be some of you that will say, oh, it's a bunch of hooey. I just don't buy into it. When you die, you die. Well, everyone's entitled to their own belief system. But I've had my own personal experiences, and they really helped me to understand when they were brought to my attention. And I say when they were brought because I didn't go out actively seeking them. But it made me understand why it was so easy for me to interact with and to be integrated with various cultures throughout the world. It also made me understand why some things were feared by me and why it bothered me. Now, I have to tell you, one of the beginning experiences I ever had with this was with this client. And I'm going to be taking this call in just a moment. Let me just finish up my sentence. So I'll share with you, if we have the time, I will share with you what happened with me and a client, and the difference it made to her relative to a past life experience. Let's take this caller. Welcome to the show, caller. First name or initial. And where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm calling from New York. Who is my initial? And my question is, do you see anything with me spiritually? I don't mean in my physical realm life, but more in a spiritual level.
All right. Give me your name again there, or your initial.
S.
S. And you're in New York?
Yes.
All right. S, when you're asking me the question regarding your spiritual life, I have to tell you, to me, there's no separation. You are spirit in action. So
yes.
When you ask me that question, I need to ask you a question.
Yes.
What is it that's concerning you? And I realize we've only got a couple of minutes here, so let's try to be as direct as we can.
My concern is that I am experiencing a lot of, I have no words to explain it. I see orbs.
Mm-hmm.
I feel different things now, and I have I don't want you to think I'm insane if I start talking to you about this.
Oh no, but hon, I have to tell you something. We are almost out of time. Now, what you're asking me about is very, very important. Would you be able to call back another day this week?
Yes, when? You just let me know.
Okay,
call back.
It would be New York time. It would be between 6:30 and 7. Now, Wednesday is going to be a full hour that's going to be open to calls. Okay.
Okay, so Wednesday?
But Wednesday from 6 to 7, your time Wednesday is a full hour.
Okay.
Okay? But on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, it would be from 6:30 to 7 your time.
Okay, so like you said, may I should call you back on Wednesday?
Yes, because there's a lot of good questions that you have here and information you're giving, and I'd be happy to help you.
Oh, thank you.
You are welcome, hon. So give me a call back now, all right?
Okay, so I'll call you back on Wednesday. Thank
you. All right, dear. This is Donna Sebo. I'm so sorry. We're out of time. It's just been a phenomenal afternoon. I'm very grateful to PMH Atwater for being my guest. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are a person that's meant to travel a journey that's going to enrich not just your life, but the lives of the people that come in contact with you. Let that light shine, because who you are does make a difference. We'll be here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.